Hey, I'm Jay Jenkins, Nebraska Extension Beef Systems Educator, bringing you the Beef Watch Podcast. This is the audio companion to the UNL Beef Watch electronic newsletter. Today, I have Aaron Lavery with me. Aaron is also an extension educator on the beef team. Glad you could join me today, Aaron.
Thanks for having me today.
Aaron wrote an article for the May issue of the Beef Watch newsletter that's also on the beef.unl.edu website under profit tips. It's called Implanting the Suckling Calf. We all know that implants are used widely in the feedlot, but not very heavily used in the cow-calf segment of our industry. Why do you suppose that is?
Well, I think there's a little hesitation in terms of the impact it may have on the price they receive at sale time.
Mm-hmm.
And then additionally, there's some concerns about how that implant affects the performance long term. So when they get to the feedlot, how it impacts their performance and carcass quality at the end.
I guess before we go into depth about answers to those concerns, I want to talk just a little bit about implants, how they work, and maybe how much they might cost.
Yes, because cost is always a determining factor. So what we know about implants is that it causes a delay in fat deposition, and it increases the lean gain potential of cattle. Mm-hmm. And in the end, we're also changing frame size. And so it's very well documented in research that using growth promotants like implants can increase weaning weight. And so in terms of pounds, we're looking at 15 to 30 pounds of additional weight.
Mm-hmm.
But when we look at the cost of an implant, it's going to be less than $1.50 per head.
Sounds like a lot of potential return for a fairly small investment. I guess this is branding time of year, and branding is when implants would be traditionally given. You said that the 4 to 6% increase in gains, but it's not like you put the implant in and every time you're going to get the same amount of return back. It's variable. You have quite a bit of, or some, I guess, year-to-year variation. You want to talk a little bit about that?
As I mentioned before, what an implant does is increases that lean gain potential of cattle. And so this is where nutrition comes in, and it's very important because we have to provide the right amount of nutrients to help support that increased lean gain potential. And so that's why sometimes there may be variation from one year to the next in terms of the growth response of implanted calves, because that's going to be altered by environmental factors such as grass quality and availability.
Right. I guess we can expect payout to be best when the calves are on a highest plane of nutrition. There's some research from your alma mater, South Dakota State University, where they found that the calves from mature running age cows had the highest response. Do I remember that correctly?
Yes. Mature cows had heavier calves that were implanted, I guess, compared to non-mature. But the interesting thing in that study was when we look at the time that the implant was administered, I believe that calves were either implanted in May or in August, looking at both mature and non-mature cows. And so the response was opposite in the calves. So calves that were implanted in May that were of mature calves had heavier weaning weights, whereas in the calves of non-mature cows, they responded better when they were implanted in August, later in the year.
I guess it sort of makes some sense that mature cows probably are milking heavier than the young cows were, and so the calves had a good chance to express that additional gain, but on the younger cows, sort of had to wait till the calves were big enough to be eating a lot on their own. I guess
exactly.
That's my theory, and I'm sticking to it.
Yep.
I want to circle back a little bit to the two potential reasons that you brought up about why people may not implant. And one is that they think it's going to impact their price. But there's some research that shows that that, in fact, isn't true, right?
That's correct. And this study that I mentioned in my article is actually relatively recent. It's a summary of calves that were sold through Superior Livestock from 2010 to 2013. And they evaluated the impact of implant status on price received, and the implant status of the calves had no effect on the final price received.
So if you're going to not get an implant in hopes of receiving a higher price, then I suppose you need to be in some sort of non-hormone treated program where you can maybe hope to receive a higher price. Otherwise, you're not going to get a higher price just because you don't implant. What about the question about impact on subsequent performance?
Again, there's been a large body of research, and part of that was demonstrated in the study we talked about with the immature and mature cows at South Dakota State. But when the implant's administered in the correct place and you're looking at your labels and using the proper implant for suckling calves, it's shown to have no impact on performance in the feedlot, and as well as carcass quality.
I recall a research study that I looked at a few months ago now from New Mexico. I think it was from New Mexico. Essentially, they looked at the economics of implanting in different years, and it varied. There's one year in their study that it didn't pay a lot, but every year was positive. It always returned more than it cost. And some years, the return was pretty considerable.
Yes, I do recall that study as well. I believe it was a five-year study, and I think calves, there was an increase of weaning weight from anywhere from 3 pounds to 32 pounds, somewhere around there. So, like you said, there was an increase regardless. But again, I think there were some environmental factors involved in terms of some years they may have experienced a drought.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think I remember that they had a pretty dry year in that study. And even on that year, it didn't go negative.
Right.
Anything else you want to highlight about implanting suckling calves before we wrap this up?
I guess I'd just mention a few factors that it can influence payout, and and we kind of touched on matching that implant to the nutrition program already, but I just highlight the importance of looking at the label, and because there are several implants available for suckling calves. Just a few to name would be Raugro, Synovex C, and there's a component EC, but just ensuring that it is approved for suckling calves, and you want to pay attention as well to what sex that it is recommended for, whether that's a steer or a heifer calf. On the reproductive side of things, if you are keeping replacement heifers or bull calves for breeding, I would recommend that you do not implant those, just to ensure that you're not affecting the reproductive performance. There's a lot of variation in the research out there in terms of the impact that suckling calf implants have on reproductive performance of those animals. But I guess to be on the safe side, if you know at branding time that you're not, or that you're going to be keeping those calves, I would recommend not implanting those.
Right. I guess research suggests that all is not lost if you do and then later change your mind. It's not like a guarantee that they're not going to breed or something. But if you know, better safe than sorry, and not implant them.
Right. And then again, just little things like proper placement of the implant is going to affect your payout. So making sure that it's being placed in that middle third of the ear, cleaning off your gun so that in between each use, so you're not going to have abscesses, and just following those label directions.
Thanks again for joining us today, Erin.
Thanks for having me, Jay.
This has been Jay Jenkins and Erin Labery, Nebraska Extension Beef Systems Educators, bringing you the Beef Watch Podcast. You can find links to both the UNL Beef Watch Podcast and the written version of the Beef Watch newsletter at beef.unl.edu.